Please turn to Exodus chapter 14. All right, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And that's what this teaching is about, how God fights for us. So we're going to now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to be reading this chapter from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 out of the Tyndale version of the Bible. But you follow along in the King James. I'm reading this because it's more fluid. It just moves right along.
So, verse 1.
Thank you. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazeron Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord, and he prayed, "O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, 'Whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us.' Now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite, who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked God there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat, leaving them overjoyed that the Lord had given them the victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Isn't that an awesome record? So where's your battle? You know, I think in life we have these battles that we have to fight, and God wants to fight them for us. And we get to stand still and see the victory that God wins these battles for us. But we have to trust. We got to trust God to do his part. We do our part, which is trusting, and God does his part. And it's pretty hard. Can you imagine these men going into battle and knowing that spears and swords and all these fighting men are going to be coming at them, but they have to stand still and see God win the battle? That's a lot of trust. But God knows we can trust. He asks us repeatedly, time again in the Word, to trust him. And he's going to fight. He's going to fight and win these battles for us. So one of the battles that I have, and I'm sure we all do, is anxiety. You know, and being overly busy, and then you get fearful. Maybe we have battles of health. We need healing. Or maybe it's money, finances, or relationship problems. We have battles in life. And this is the Old Testament. They fought with actual, you know, fighting things. But today, what do? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual. It's our spiritual battles that we gotta have. God is going to fight those for us. In Ephesians 6:1, where it says, wrestle not against flesh and blood, it tells us some of the ways that some of the things we can do to fight the battle. And then God fights for us and we can have rest. We can have rest in that, knowing that God is taking care of things for us. And one of the things that happens to us is that we are very critical of our own selves. And this results in some anxiety. And I taught women yesterday, and I know women especially have issues with being critical of their own selves. So some of you ladies have rings with the rock in it. I know Deb has one. Do you have a rock in your ring? But they have at the jewelry store, the jeweler has something called a lupe. And he can put that in his eye and look at the gemstone. And the gemstones that have the least amount of flaws have the most worth. But all gemstones have flaws. And in life, you know, as women, we all have flaws. And some of those flaws actually make us who we are. And we are beautiful in God's sight. And we must recognize that Jesus Christ is the only one who did not have flaws. And we can look to him to help us supply. And I think that that's a battle that women fight, is that we have flaws and we're very critical of ourselves. So that's one of the battles. So let's look at Psalms 46:10. I don't want this button. Actually, we're going to start in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And yesterday, Sheila had taught on Elijah when he was running away from God, and how there was an earthquake and all this loud noise. And then, well, let's read on. What verse was I in? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And here's this be still again. Be still and see what God will do today. Be still and see how God will fight the battle for us. And the stillness, that be still. You know, I don't think we've ever experienced total quiet. There's always some sound that is happening. But God made it totally quiet for Elijah. And then he said to him, what are you doing here? And then Elijah heard him in that quiet. And be still, be quiet. Sometimes we have to put aside all of our fretting and all of our things and be still and have some quiet. And then we can rest. Because isn't there a rest in the quiet sometimes? And then with listening ears toward God, we can hear him in that stillness. And we have rest. We have peace with God and with ourselves. Sometimes we ask God and we get, like I have at times said, is that you, God? Yeah. Am I really hearing you? Is that right? Or I just can't hear. I just need an answer. So a lot of times what I do is I pray at night, and then I go to bed, and I wake up in the morning. And in the still quiet of the morning, I can hear God a lot better than when I'm all wrapped up in the situation. So I love that. Be still. Some believe that this Psalms 14, I read some men believe that this was written after that battle in 2 Chronicles, as sort of a victory song after having won that battle. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. And he will not fail. And that's the word be still. He will not be still. God will not be idle. He tells us to be still. And he's going to be the one that fights it. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And in verse 8, and the Lord he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not, again, fail thee. The same word. Neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Isn't that a cool use the other way, where God is not idle, but he tells us to stop and be still and see what he will do for us. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 7. This is my favorite psalm, the whole psalm. I love Psalm 37. But verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And verse 8, cease is our word. Still, be still. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And let's look at Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Sometimes we just have to wait. We have to be patient, and we will see what God will do. He has these promises in his word that do not go out and return to him void. His word accomplishes that which he promises. And we need to put the emphasis on God's ability to perform and on our ability to trust. And we have the authority over those anxious thoughts. Let's look at Mark 4:39. All right, let's start a little sooner. Jesus is preaching all day and he's really tired. And he says, let's put the ships out and go to the other side of the lake, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. We have the authority, the same authority. We have Christ in us, and we have storms that rise up in our lives, you know, spiritually. And we have the authority over those storms in our lives and those anxious thoughts, those situations that may occur in life. I had a woman come to me and say she wanted healing in her family and forgiveness. And so she is praying with the authority of Jesus Christ for those kind of things to be handled and that she can be more forgiving and loving in that situation. There's all kinds of these storms that crop up, little and big, in our lives. And we have the authority in Christ to pray over that stuff and command those things to be handled. And that we trust God and we see God fight the battle for us. We watch what God will do. God bless you. I love you. Mm-hmm.